I'd like to take a few moments tonight. We're going to sing again very shortly. But before we do, I'd like to take a few moments and ask you to join with me on the journey. In the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, the scripture gave a law that had to be followed if a person one day became aware that a disease called leprosy came into their flesh. It was, in a sense, a law of death began to work in them. I want you to imagine with me for a moment, young man, young woman, perhaps getting up one morning. And in Leviticus, it talks about when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or one of his sons the priest. And imagine getting up one day and you've got your life ahead of you. You've got plans for your future. You've got aspirations and dreams. You have a self-image. You have a vision of your future. And one day you rise up and there's this blemish has appeared, perhaps on the back of your hand, maybe on your arm, maybe on the side of your face. And initially, you would hope beyond hope that this is not as serious as it looks. And perhaps maybe this young person thought maybe, well, I can handle this. If I just scrub it hard enough, if I just pretend it's not there, if I do whatever I know to do, maybe I can make it go away. Only to find that it has a greater power than any of our efforts to get rid of it. And that's, folks, what sin is like. Sin starts small, but it has an incredible power. It has a gripping power. The Bible says that there's a law of sin and death at work in us. And no matter how much we try, no matter how much we aspire to be a certain kind of a person, no matter what image we've even cultivated of ourselves, the moment sin begins to rise, it seems that there's so little we can do. And that's the testimony of everyone here tonight that's ever been captivated by sin. There's so little you can do to stop it once it starts in your life. And many people got involved in things along the way that they thought they could handle. A little bit of anger, a little bit of lust, a little bit of drinking, a little bit of drugs, a little bit of gossip, a little bit of pride. They thought they could handle it. And then suddenly to find that it's beginning to overpower their physical body. It's beginning to entangle itself in their mind. It's beginning to become part of their spirit. And ultimately completely starts to dominate who they are. And that's what it was like in the Old Testament if the disease of leprosy got a hold of you. In Leviticus 13, it says, "The leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip." Now, you don't have to turn there. Let me read it to you. "And he shall cry, 'Unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He's unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be.'" Now, can you imagine being there in that place, finding out you had a disease that you could not control, that society couldn't do anything about? There was no mechanism available anywhere to touch this disease. And that's exactly sometimes what sin is like. You can go to rehabs, you can go to counseling, but sin is deep. And there's many remedies that men will offer. There's many compassions even, but they can never get the very essence of what sin is out of a person's life. It says, the one who's, it's established that leprosy has gotten a hold of him, his clothes shall be rent. In other words, the image of yourself is gone. What you felt you were is over. I don't know how many people are here tonight, and that's the way you're feeling. You're covering, your clothing, your image, what you hoped you were going to be. How many people set out in life and say, "I'm never going to be like my father. I'm never going to be like my mother." Or somebody else that was a bad role model perhaps in your life. And here you are tonight, you're exactly the same. You're on a pathway of becoming the same person that you once despised, and you have no way of controlling it. There's no way of changing it. You cultivated an image, but you found that working within you is a law of death, and you don't know how to change it. And suddenly you're getting a little older, and your image is just of what you thought you were going to be is gone. That means your clothes are rent. His head is bare. There's a sense of shame that comes into your life. How many people here tonight, you never thought you would do what you did. You never thought you'd become what you're becoming. You never thought ever when you were a child. Remember, you started out and you were bouncing and skipping along like most children are, and the world was ahead of you, and you had a vision of what kind of a person you were going to be and what life was going to deal to you. You never ever thought you'd become the person that you are tonight. And yet, even though you come into church, there's a shame that's upon you and you don't know how to get rid of it. So many people in our society, they are shame bound. Things that were done to you, things that you did, things that you never thought you'd be involved in, became part of your life. You should put a covering upon his upper lip. Now you've had to disguise your speech. Now you've had to pretend that you're somebody other than what you really are. How's everything? Fine, thank you. How's life going? Blessed, just great, couldn't be better. Covering on the upper lip. Inside is death. Inside is shame. Inside is a sense of hopelessness. Inside, you really don't know. You really don't have much hope left for the future. But you have to have some kind of a positive face. You still have to go to work every day. You still have to keep some kind of friendships up. You still have to go into the clubs where everybody is and pretend that everything is just fine. But the fact that you're in the club is proof that it's not fine. You're in there like everybody else, just trying to numb your mind and try to numb your emotions and just hope you can dance the pain away, only to find out the next day it's very real and it's still there. And all the days that the plague is in him, he shall be defiled, he's unclean, he dwells alone, without the camp shall his covering be. A sense of shame covering the words of your mouth, and all the time feeling unclean, alone, and outside of where you once thought life should take you. It's an awful feeling, isn't it? To feel hopeless. It's an awful feeling to feel like you could never become what you thought one time your life should be. Dwelling alone. It's a terrible feeling to be in a greater New York area with 17 million people and you feel all alone. You've come into the sanctuary tonight and there are, I don't know, 1,800 people or so here tonight praising God, but you still feel alone. You feel like abandoned by God, like nobody cares, perhaps. But tonight you've heard some testimonies about what the Lord can do. You've heard some testimonies about how sin can captivate and how Christ can set free. You've heard something, and maybe for the first time in your life you're thinking, this is too good to be true. Is it possible? Is this real? Can I really have a new life? Can I really get back to what was lost? Can I really be cleansed? Can I really be set free from the shame of my life and how I've lived my life and what I've become and what I've done? Is it possible? Do I have to live this way all of my life? Does God want me? I guess that's the ultimate question in your heart tonight, isn't it? Does God want me, or is it just a pipe dream? Is this just a pie in the sky, or is it real? And if God wants me, why would he want me? Matthew chapter 8, the scripture says there were great multitudes following Jesus Christ. And you're looking around yourself tonight in the sanctuary, and there appears to be a lot of people following Jesus. And then in verse 2, it says, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. If you want to. Or it says in the King James, if you will, but it means if you want to. Lord, if you want to. It's like the man or woman that says tonight, God, if you want me, I'm yours. I'm not much. My life is a mess. My garments are rent. My head is full of shame. I'm a phony. I pretend to be someone other than really who I really know I am inside. I've lost hope for the future. I don't really think I have much to offer. But if you want me, you can have me. If you want to change me, you can. And it's suddenly, it just becomes that person in Jesus. It's as if the multitudes disappear. And the scripture says, Jesus said to him, I want to. And he stretched forth his hand and touched him. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. I want to. I want to. And you have to understand, in the Old Testament, when you touched a leper, you took that person's disease upon yourself. And that's exactly what Jesus did when he went to a cross. Do you understand, my friend, today? When he went to a cross, he took your sin. He took your shame. He took your failure. He took your struggle. He took the inward disease of your sin. He took it all upon himself and paid the price for it. Everything we deserve for what we have done and how we have lived was placed upon him. And he suffered the full wrath of Almighty God for the failure that's in your heart and in your life. And he says to you tonight, I want to touch you. I want to cleanse you. I want to give you a new heart. I want to give you a new mind. I want to give you a new spirit. I want to change you. I want to give you a new song. I want to give you hope. I want to give you vision. And he touched him, and it says immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Do you know that when you have an encounter with Jesus Christ, it doesn't take 10 years to become a new person in Christ? Immediately, the power of sin is broken. Immediately, the penalty of sin is canceled. Immediately, the old way of life comes to an end. Immediately, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus. Immediately, life comes into your physical body. Immediately, vision comes into your eyes. Immediately, God imparts to you a new mind, a new heart, and a new spirit. Immediately, you're set upon a new course of glorifying God for the rest of your life. Immediately, your name is written down in a book in heaven that God writes the names of those who belong to him. Immediately. And it happens immediately by faith. It's not something you have to do. It's something you have to believe in your heart. Lord, if you want to, you can touch me. And he said, I do want to. And immediately put his hand out and touched him. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Then Jesus said to him, go to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now, I don't have time to go through all of this. Maybe someday you want to read it yourself in Leviticus 13 and onward, forward in the scriptures. But in a encapsulated version, the gift that was to be offered is that two doves were to be taken, and one was to be killed, and the other was to be dipped in the blood of the one that was killed, and it was to be released and set free. That was the gift. And the gift is a testimony. Oh my God, you set me free. Jesus said, here's the gift. Here's the test. You just start telling people what I've done for you. You start telling people who I am. You start proclaiming what my word says, that I touched you. And the moment I touched you, you were set free. All your failure, all your sin, all your struggle was dipped as it is in the blood of one who died for you. And you were released from the power of sin. You were released from the penalty of it and given a new heart, a new life, and a new future. And secondarily, they were to take a lamb, and it was be brought to the priest and was offered as a sacrifice. And the priest would take the blood of that lamb, that ram, and he would put it on the tip of his right ear. He put it on the thumb of his right hand and the big toe of his right foot. There's a lot of symbolism there, but let me try to make it as simple as I can. The Lord says, I paid the price for your sin, and I'm going to apply that blood to every part of your life. From now on, it's my voice you start to hear. You don't hear the voice of the condemner any longer. You don't have to walk around saying you're unclean any longer. What I've cleansed, no one has a right to call common or unclean anymore. It's my voice you listen to. I give you the power to shut down the voice of your enemy. I give you the power to shut down that voice that says you'll never be nothing. You'll never be anything. You'll never amount to anywhere. You'll never go anywhere. I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You apply that blood. You no longer listen to any voice but the voice of God. He says, I'm the one who reached out my hand to cleanse you. I will guide you and lead you from this day forward. You get into this book and I'll begin to speak to you. And you're going to understand you have a hope and you have a future. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. And the priest applied the blood to the thumb of the right hand. And may I say this very simply? When you get that remote, whatever that remote is in your hand, you remember whose blood is on that thumb that presses the button. Do you understand me? You turn away from what captivated you. You don't open that door handle. You don't turn on that knob. You don't go to that website. You turn that hand away by the power of God from what once brought death into your life. And the priest would apply the blood to the toe of the right foot. And that's God saying, I have another journey for you now. I have another path. No longer traveling through this world, traveling through this society, feeling lost and lonely and unclean and unworthy. No, I've got a pathway for you now. I'm going to send you to the hurting and the lost of this world. I'm going to chart another course for you. And on this course, you're going to learn what the power and love of God is all about. I'm going to give you a new life. Now, folks, I can't do this for you. Nobody who testified tonight can do this for you. There comes a point in your life when you have to leave the multitudes and go to Jesus all by yourself. This leper, I don't know how it all transpired, but he just pressed through the crowd. Just said, I don't care who's here. I don't care who's beside me. I don't care who knows my past. I don't care who knows my present. I don't care who likes me and doesn't like me. I don't care who cares how I'm dressed. I've heard something tonight that I believe is right and it's true, and I'm getting through to him no matter what. And I don't care who says what, I'm getting through. I'm getting through, and I'm going to walk right up to him face to face and say, if this is true, what you're saying, you can have my life if you want it. You can change me if you want to. And you can cleanse me if it's in your heart to do so. And immediately Jesus stretches out his hand. Says, I want you. I have always wanted you. That's why I came to the earth. That's why I became a man. That's why I went to a cross. That's why I paid the price for your sin, because I've always wanted you. Did you know tonight that Jesus Christ loves you with a love that is greater than anything that your mind or heart could ever comprehend? And he wants to cleanse you. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you a new life. The testimonies you heard tonight can be yours. And even beyond that, he'll take you into places and make you into what your heart only dreamed once upon a time that you could be. And even beyond that. You have to have the courage, though, to step out of the crowd. That's the way it was then. That's the way it is tonight. Years ago, I heard a gospel message, and it caused me to give my life in private to Christ. But then in public, the week after, I was sitting in the balcony up on this side in a rather large church, and an altar call was given. And I remember saying that day, I don't really care if I'm the only one. And actually, there were two of us, so I wasn't the only one. But I really didn't care. I really don't care. I don't care what people think. I don't care who's here. I just don't care. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. Folks, I have never regretted that day. I got up out of the balcony. I walked down the aisle right to this side. Pastors met me there that were responsible for that. We prayed together. And the rest is history. I have a new life. God gave me a new life. Cleansed me. Changed me. How many tonight? I always ask you to do this in this church unashamedly. I always have believed if you start this walk with God in a closet, it's going to stay in a closet. I do believe that Jesus died publicly on a hill, disgraced and shamed, that my shame and disgrace might be placed upon him and I might be free. And I believe it's a reasonable thing to publicly give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask tonight, how many here in the sanctuary, the balcony, the annex, how many would have the courage this evening to say, Pastor, what I have felt in my heart, what I have heard, the testimonies, the word that's been opened, I am that person that God's been speaking about. I'm just so tired of living this way. I'm so tired of the games. I'm so tired of the shame. I'm so tired of the guilt. I'm so tired of the failure. I'm just so tired of sin. I want to give my life tonight to Jesus Christ. I want to open my heart and receive the touch of God. And I do believe that from this day forward, I will be another person, forgiven of my sin, given a new life, and promised that when I die, that I will have an eternity in heaven with God. If that is you tonight, unashamedly, I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand right now, all over the sanctuary. God, just do it. Unashamed, just raise your hand all over the sanctuary, balcony, main sanctuary. Praise God. In a moment, we're going to stand, and I want to ask those who raised their hand to get out of your seat, please, and come down to the front of this auditorium. Meet with me here. We're going to pray a prayer together. And I do believe that Christ will receive you. You will be a new creation. You'll be created anew in Him and forgiven your sin. Let's stand together, balcony, go to either exit. If you brought somebody with you, ask them if they'd like you to come with them. But come down here, please. Just make your way down. God bless you. God bless you. Don't be ashamed. Just move right in. Just move right in. You will never be the same again. Never. Never be the same. Just keep coming. Just keep coming. Annex, make your way over here. Folks, this is so important. You'll never make a greater decision in your entire life than this tonight. Never. You are coming to the living God. You are coming to the God who created you. He has the right, He has the full rights to cleanse us and to have us for His own. Let's worship for a moment, please, Vicki, if we can. Just keep coming. In the balcony, just keep coming. It doesn't matter what other people think. You come now. You get right with God tonight. I can tell that a lot of you here are not familiar with church, and that's okay. God loves you. With all of our faults and failures and flaws and spots and wrinkles, He loves us. He loves us. And He promises to forgive our sin. And He promises to give us a future and a hope. And it's all found in Him. I'm going to ask you to pray a simple prayer with me tonight. And as you pray, make it your own prayer. And believe. Remember the leper, all he prayed is, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, I want to. And immediately he was cleansed. And that's the promise for you tonight. Pray with me this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Jesus, I thank you that you so loved me, that you became a man. You went to a cross and paid the price for all the wrong things that I have done. I'm sorry for my sin, and I don't want to live in sin anymore. Jesus Christ, Son of God, I invite you tonight into my life to be my Lord and my Savior. Cleanse me from my sin. Give me that promise to have power to live a new life that brings glory to your name. Jesus, thank you for receiving me and for cleansing me. As of tonight, I believe in my heart that I am a child of God, that I belong to you and you belong to me. Help me to follow you, to understand who you are, and to grow in the understanding of what it means to walk as a child of God. Jesus Christ, from this day forward, my life belongs to you. Do with me what you will. Take me where you want me to go, and make me into the person that you desire me to be. I am completely yours, and you are completely mine. I do believe that at this moment, I am free from my sin, from the power of it, and the eternal penalty of it. I am cleansed. I am free. I am saved. Hallelujah. 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 Saved. Say it with me. Saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm free from the penalty of sin. Thank God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's give God praise. Let's give God glory tonight. Hallelujah, Lamb of God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the Bible says that in heaven, the angels around the throne of God are rejoicing tonight. And it's not about numbers, it's about you. If it was just you, they would still be rejoicing. There'd still be a shout in heaven, like God allowed you to hear a shout on earth so you understand what's going on in heaven tonight. It's all about you tonight.